The church of God is alive. The people of God are alive. The kingdom of God is alive. And he is moving in our midst if we will allow him. Because, you know, right now, right this very second, there are churches that are meeting that are not allowing the Holy Spirit to move, that are not allowing God to speak. God wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear him. He wants to encourage. He wants to speak to our needs. And many times we just close the door. And we push him away. We don't have time for it. We only have an hour for our service. We got to get this, we got to get this, we got to get this and this done. We got to get four songs done. We got to get announcements. We got to get the offering. Oh, God, don't forget the offering. Amen. Right? And because all those things got to be done, there's no room for God in his own house. Do you hear that? There's no room for God anymore. And the places that leave no room for God, their doors are closing. The doors are closing. And the people are going to go where the Spirit is moving. People are tired. Frankly, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of cold religion. I'm tired of traditions that are so regimented, it's all methodical. We're like robots. That's not what I want. That's not what God wants. That's never what he intended. It's never what he intended. God wants to be in the very midst. In the Bible it says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. You don't need to ask me to come because I'm already there, people. You're gathered in my name. You don't have to ask me to come. I am there with you. That's what we want. We want a place. We want something that's real. We want the truth. We don't want, as the Bible calls it, a form of godliness, but denying its power. You see, religion looks like what we think God ought to be, but God's not in it. His power's not there, his love's not there, and it's cold, and there's no warmth, and there's no two-way communication. It's just a bunch of rules and traditions and methods of doing things, and God is not even there. God is not even there. And so all they're doing is having a big club meeting. God's not there. But when we open our hearts before the Lord and we say, God, this is all for you. This is all for you. Have free reign here. Move in our midst. You are welcome here. God's Holy Spirit just pours out in the church. God's Spirit just pours out. That's what he longs for. He longs to speak to us. And we heard him today speak through various people in our church. God wants to move. God wants you to know that he is real. God wants you to know that he adores you. Do you hear that? God adores you. That's not what I get from religion. God adores you. He's willing to overlook your faults. He addressed your faults. Do you hear what I'm saying? God addressed your faults when he sent his son, who came willingly, by the way, his son Jesus Christ, to give himself as a sacrifice, carrying the weight and the burden of our sin and our infirmities on him. And when he was nailed to the cross, do you understand that every one of our sins and our shortcomings and our falling short of God's glory, as it says in Romans, was nailed to the cross with him. And so every time we fall, Our sin is crucified to the cross if we bring it before Jesus. Do you understand that? That's great news. That's great news. I'm encouraged by that. You see, I'm a pastor, and I still fall. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I am. I try really hard. I try really hard. But I fall too. Does that mean that we can just go on sinning because of the grace of God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. However, if we genuinely come to God and we repent, which means what? Turn around. We repent of our sins. We turn from them. Okay? And we take them before the cross, before the feet of Jesus. And say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I did it again. Here I am again, a Christian man. Here I am again, a Christian woman. And my sin is black before your holiness. But I bring it before you again in faith that you receive my heart, you receive my words, and you take my sin. Cast it as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers it no more, the Bible says. He casts it in a sea of forgetfulness, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let those words just heal you today. Let those words heal you. And come. And follow. Come and follow. Jesus just bidding us, come on. Let's go. Let's not stay where we are. Come on. Let's go right now. You and me. Jesus takes us as we are, but he's not going to leave us that way. He loves us too much to leave us that way. Do you understand that? God is for you. He is not against you. At every, there are so many places where God judges evil. And yet at every opportunity, God has provided a way for us to receive grace and mercy. You know what mercy is? Undeserved favor. Undeserved favor. That's what God shows to us. When we don't deserve it, God shows us love, that unconditional love. In Psalms, I believe it says that he does not repay us according to our sins. Oh my God. Can you imagine if he paid us back what we owed for that sin? We'd never be able to keep our heads above water. There's just no way. But his mercy just washes over us and cleanses us. And he loves us in spite of ourselves. That's the message the world needs to hear. Not one that's pointing fingers at everybody saying, God doesn't like what you're doing. God hates what you're doing. Yes, he does. But he loves you more than you will ever know. And he loves you so much, it says, that he gave his only son that whoever would believe on him would have everlasting life. Yes, you, while you are a sinner. Me, while I was a sinner. He demonstrates his love. And that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. That's agape. That's agape love. That's that unconditional love that says, it doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. And some of us have left a wake of destruction in our lives. You know what a wake is? When boats are moving forward, the wave that comes behind them in that V shape, that is a wake. You may see places where it says a no wake zone. You got to go real slow because there's residential properties and what around that area in the water, okay? Along, and so the boats have to go real slow. It's a no-wake area, no-wake zone. You don't want to cause any destruction of property. Well, some of us have not heeded the signs of the no-wake zone. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And we've left a wake of destruction that no matter where that wave hits, when it hits the shore, there's death and destruction. And we've left that sort of thing in our lives. And we've hurt people. We've hurt ourselves. We've hurt our family. We've hurt God. And He loves us. He loves us in spite of the wake of destruction we've led in our lives. He loves us in spite of our, listen now, in spite of our rejection of Him. Are you following? That even while we heap insults at Him, people don't believe in God. People choose not to believe. And they reject the cross. And God still loves us. He loves us in spite of our sin. But He loves us too much to leave us in that place. And He provided a way for us to be free and to once again stand in righteousness. And when He looks upon us, you know, one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of God Himself. I tremble at that thought. And you should too. But one day we will give an account, the Bible says, for every careless word we have spoken. How important and how dangerous are our words? And He will either say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Come on in. You done good." Or He's going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And you're going to say, yeah, but I was here on Sundays. Remember me? I'm the guy that gave all that money. That's not going to mean anything. Well, I helped this person and that person. You remember me? What's your name again? As He's looking in the Lamb's Book of Life. What's your last name? Starts with P. I was the one that did all these things. Remember me? Depart from me. I never knew you. And we're going to be cast into a place where God will never be. And all that's there is evil and torment and pain. I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm saying it because it's the truth. It's the truth. The Bible says this. Okay, this is not my words. Don't bank on my words. Don't bank on somebody else's words. Look it up for yourself. But we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account for our lives. It's like it's going to be a big movie screen. And we've been filmed on camera. And we're going to watch our lives back before God Himself. That's scary. And yet, if, there's a big if here, folks. If we are willing to receive what Jesus did, receive Jesus as the Savior of our souls, we are declared innocent. We are declared clean. We are declared free to go. And the judge says to us, "No longer do I hold these sins against you because they have been paid for in full. Your debt because of your sin has been paid in full." And the gavel falls, crack. the judgment. You have sentenced. You have been sentenced, and your sentence is you are free to go. Because of the great love of God for you and for me. Hallelujah. We live in a world that is just coming apart at the seams. Do you agree? And have you been seeing the rise of civil unrest? All right? And peace has departed. And everybody's out for themselves. These things are spoken of in the Bible. If you read Matthew 24, and over the past number of months now, we've been studying all these things and what place the world is going to come to. And it's been foretold for hundreds of years, thousands, that are prophesied right here in this Bible. Would you turn to Revelations with me? Chapter 1. Now, we're returning to our study here. In Revelation, there are many symbolic things. Revelation is very symbolic. One thing represents this, one thing represents this, and so on, okay? And without reading it, it's very difficult to grasp what is going on. Sometimes even having read it, it's difficult to understand what's going on. You follow me? And so I want you to hear these things with your own ears. I want you to read it with your own eyes so that when they come to pass, you will say, I remember that. I remember that. A lot of these things are getting lost. The things that are spoken about in Revelation are getting lost because, frankly, they're hard to understand, and so people will stay away from them. Teachers will stay away from them. Pastors will stay away from them. And trust me when I tell you, it's difficult to teach. However, it's really important. As parents, when we talk about sex, it's very difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. And yet, how important is it? It's very important. Okay? So we don't just not do it because it's uncomfortable or difficult. We constantly go back to it. We constantly reference it. Do you follow me? Instead of having one talk in the course of your child's life, you have 100 2 or 3 minute conversations. You follow? And so Revelation is kind of like that. You can't just do it once and then you got it all. It's not like that. It has to be looked through and taken time through as you walk through it and you absorb it. That's really what ends up happening is you absorb the Word of God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. Okay. So why was this given? To show his servants what must take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. What did he see? What did he experience? Well, he experienced the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ himself. Verse 3, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it. Why? Because the time is near. So it gives a blessing to those who read the words of the prophecy and to those who hear it and do what? Take it to heart. You believe it. You absorb it. You expect it. Okay? So we're reading it, but we're not just leaving it there. We're listening to it and we're taking it to heart. Okay? That's what the Bible is meant to do. It's meant to be read and absorbed and lived out. Amen? Chapter 4, verse 4. To the seven churches in the province of Asia. Now, so the book is written to these seven churches. Do we have a map up there? So, you can see a bit here how condensed the areas of the churches are, the seven churches here. And so this body of water to the bottom left is the Mediterranean Sea, okay? And so these areas here, that big circle is where most of the churches were represented. Down here, about mid-screen to the very bottom is where Israel is, give or take, in that area, okay? Sometimes, for me, I have a hard time grasping what's going on in the scripture when I'm not absorbing what's going on and where that's happening. So Iran and Iraq are down towards the bottom right, and Syria and all those things are down in that area, okay? So that you can get a feel of where we are here. The seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. So he gives a description here of who it is that gave him the revelation. From him who was and is to come, past, present, and future. Are you following? And the seven spirits before the throne. Jesus Christ. And it explains a little bit about him. He's the faithful witness. The firstborn from the what? Dead. What does that mean? It means he rose from the dead. That's what it means. The ruler of the kings of the earth. Wow. That is some authority right there. Wouldn't you say? And wouldn't it make sense that we ought to give heed to someone with this sort of resume, wouldn't you think? Okay, so he's setting up the authority of him who gave him the vision. Yeah? And he continues. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. Why do you think people of the earth will mourn when they see him coming? That's interesting, isn't it? If you are not on the side of the Son of God, when he returns, it is not going to go well with you. Okay? So let's just say this flat out, as basic as we can and as truthful as we can. You want to be on the side of Jesus Christ. He has provided a way for you to be free from your sin, from bondage. Receive it. Receive it. Amen. We talked last week about a man that died just down the road here. And he was in church, sitting right in that front row. And within days, he was gone. We're not guaranteed another day. We're not guaranteed another day. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Have we covered all the bases, do you think, as to who it is that's speaking here to John? Okay? Have we pretty much covered, do we know this now? Okay? I, John, your brother, verse 9, and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So the island of Patmos, well, what is that? Do we have a graphic here of the island of Patmos? So now, up in, I always forget my laser printer here, my laser pointer. Up in this area here, you see where Greece is and where Turkey is. Up in that area is the Aegean Sea, okay? Now, as you enter that, kind of curving around that area, you'll see down towards the bottom there, right there, the island of Patmos, that area. That's where John was banished to while he's writing this, okay? Now, you'll notice about this place, you can't get off it, right? There's water all the way around it. You can't leave it without a boat. Okay? Back then, you probably wouldn't be doing no flying. Okay? So this is the place he is banished to because of what? The word of God and the testimony of who? Jesus Christ. People did not like hearing about Jesus Christ. They did not like hearing that he was the Messiah, the one who would save us from our sins. People wanted a king. People wanted a royal, powerful king to be the king of the Jews, not a poor, meek man. But that was not God's plan, was it? On the Lord's day, verse 10, I was in the Spirit and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. All right. Again, that area that was encircled there where all those churches are, okay? Now, again, we're kind of setting things up here. Unless we set things up, what's coming on later, you won't be able to understand. So we've got to establish some things before we can move on, okay? And that may take us a little while. We won't be doing it all today, so don't worry about that. You'll be able to get lunch. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. I burn coal for my heat source, and sometimes that heat is so hot that it's almost white. It's almost white. And so when I hear this description, that's what I think of. It's just like blazing so hot and so pure. Nothing else but glory and holiness can be there. That's what I think about. It's so hot. In his right hand, he held the seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. Excuse me. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I, listen to this, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. You see what he's saying there? Is when I died, I bought all of those who had died before me. I set them free. He went to hell himself to those people that had died before he came. And he preached the good news of salvation to them. So he went and he conquered sin and death when he rose again. Those people, you see, even though we're dead in our sins, we're dead according to the law of God. But Jesus, the blood of Jesus raises us up again. Amen. That we may live. Though we were dead in our sins, if we believe, he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you remember those words? Verse 19, write therefore what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. And he reveals it. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Okay? So he's setting things up about what John is going to see, and we're doing the same. We're laying a foundation so that we can understand what we're going to read. Okay? Now, he goes and he gives a a letter, if you will. He addresses every church and some things that are going on in that church. Okay? Some are doing really well with these things, and yet this part they need work on. And so he kind of goes through each church and he says, you are doing very, very well in this area, but in this area here, you really got to work on that area, okay? I don't want to hit all this stuff right now. We've hit on this before, and so I kind of want to jump over the letters to the churches to chapter 4, okay? Now, we're setting up the seven seals. You may have heard that before. The seven seals are very important. They affect us. All right? Now, I want to very quickly set up before you what John is seeing here, and then we'll close, okay? But I want to at least get through this part here so that in the weeks to come, if God desires it, right? God's been changing some things on us lately, hasn't he? How many of you know that God laughs at the plans of man? You know, we got our own way, we got our own things, and we make our own plans. But the outcome is up to the Lord, right? So in chapter 4, after this I looked, verse 1, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. Do we have a graphic of any of these things coming up here? Of a throne and someone sitting on the throne? All right, here we go. Very good. Okay, so, you know, these are just renderings, interpretations of what is being read here, okay? So this will just help you get a mental picture, a visual aid, okay, whatever you want to call it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. Do we have a graphic for that? Okay. So we got the 24 elders surrounding the throne. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. And it gives you that feeling of authority, like this person is in charge. This person controls the weather, controls the earth, controls the universe. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. I don't know if we have any graphics considering that. Okay. All right. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Now listen. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in the back. That is a little bit weird. Okay? So these are just some of the things we recognize. We recognize eyes. Okay? We recognize various creatures. But sometimes when you put some of those things together, it's a little bit odd for us to put our heads around, right? And so they were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in the back. The first living creature was like a lion. Do we have a graphic of that? Okay, we got all four of them here. Graphic like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Okay? And so just representations of each of these things here. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Okay? Yeah, that's a little hard to grasp with our minds, isn't it? Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns at the throne and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." And we're going to end there. Next week, God willing, we're going to get into the seven seals. And these are all talking about, some of them representing things that have happened already, and some about things that are to come. Okay? I want you to do something as we see more and more things on the news that are unsettling. I want you to keep the eyes of your heart. Do you know our hearts have eyes? You'll understand here. Keep the eyes of your heart on the Lord. Okay? In light of all the things that are going on, keep the eyes of your heart on Jesus, okay? Keep your heart after God. Keep your heart after the Lord, all right? Don't focus on what's going on around you. Focus on the Lord, okay? The Bible says the righteous will live by faith, not by sight. That means you and me, if we're following Christ, we are to live by faith, not by sight. If we live by sight, would you stand with me? If we live by what we see around us, we will cower in fear. We'll never move forward. We'll be powerless. We'll be taken out of the fight, if it were. But if we keep our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus, then it doesn't matter what happens around us, because we are strong and we are centered. You hear me? We are centered on the rock of our salvation. And who is the rock? Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the rock of our salvation. And so then, if our feet are standing on the rock of our salvation, it does not matter what comes, because we're standing firm. It does not matter what our eyes see, because our feet are steady on the rock. Are you with me? Are you with me? Let's close with a song, Bill.
I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, Lord. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you.
At the cross,
I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. My sin washed white. I owe all to you. I owe all to you,
my Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jody, would you come forward with me? I just want to lead you in a prayer. Maybe you're here today for the first time, and maybe some of the things that you're hearing are foreign to you. Maybe you never knew that you needed to be right with God. Maybe you never knew that there was a way that you could be free from your sin. Maybe you never knew that there was a way that you could leave the old life behind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. New creation. Behold, all the old stuff is gone. Behold, everything is new. And so, you see, we have the opportunity to lay these things down and receive Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And He, by His blood, takes away our sin.